Dual Degree Hour coming up just shortly.
You don't remember me. I am your national mystery. I'm the one you got over quick. I'm the witch that made the universe start to tick. Till you know we're one blood brother, I will open like the Holy Mother. I will come for democracy. Even G.I. Joe will come home to me, cause you can run yourself ragged, I do not care. 1 billion bullets out.
This is Dual Degree Hour, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We just played you Footloose.
By Kenny Loggins. We were talking about how pleasant he looks on his album cover.
Yes.
I've never seen a photo of Kenny Loggins, but it turns out he looks a little bit like Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And in result, like many white men who live and exist on this planet.
He is just like, you know, a white man face.
Yeah, and he's got like that full beard too, so he especially, like with the brown hair, you know.
Obscures his appearance a little bit.
So yeah.
Like, oh, look at that. It's a white guy.
Yeah.
Could be anyone. But maybe it's Kenny Loggins.
Yes,
and
precisely.
In this case, it was Kenny Loggins.
It was indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. We got here a little bit late. We had a rough start this morning in that we didn't wake up.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
But it would have been a very easy start because we did have multiple alarms set. But both of us are just bad.
We're tired.
We're just not good at being functioning human beings. Which I think we're allowed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
we made it here.
We made it. We are here. It is 8:10 and almost 45 seconds.
Yes. And now it is. And now it's not. And we are happy that you are here listening to us. It's a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
We unfortunately don't have our co-host Emma here today because this time does not work for her.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate.
She's currently on the shuttle over to SMFA.
Over to the great SMFA to, what is her
name? I don't, oh, she has her video. She's making her video. It's like digital video.
Oh, intro to digital video.
Yes, there we go.
Intro to the moving image.
Intro to the moving image.
It took
image.
Us a while to get there.
Yeah, I was like, I know it's video.
Yeah, intro to the moving image.
Yes.
It's not just digital video. It's like every conceivable type of video.
Indeed.
And all moving images. And Annabelle got to play her violin as a...
It's an ambient noise in the background of the video.
It's very ominous, and I'm sure that all of our neighbors really appreciated it at the stretch between 10 to 1 a.m.
Well, we only played briefly.
Fair.
Before we went to sleep.
Yeah.
So
I think we're okay.
I think we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna get written up.
No.
It was if anything, a weird, ominous noise that lasted for approximately 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But
but imagine hearing that. Yeah, imagine hearing suspenseful violin in the distance.
Yeah, that is very ominous.
Because not clear, like, it was clear that you weren't practicing because you were just sort of playing notes.
Yeah.
So.
Long notes.
I don't know.
Maybe. No specific count of time.
Yeah. Maybe people believe in ghosts now.
That would be cool. I would like to be perceived as a ghost in Bush Hall.
You'd like to be like, you'd like to Scooby-Doo it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Except mm-hmm. It's not very easy, not very difficult to figure out who the ghost is. It's me. I'll admit it on air right now.
Fair. But it's also not that difficult to figure out who the ghost is on Scooby-Doo.
That's true, actually. Mm-hmm. It's the only other character on the show. Yeah. There are like three other people, and you have to figure out which of them is.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually the first one that you meet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ominous man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wearing a mask made out of rubber.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway. Slaps and flaps?
Slaps and flaps.
Slaps and flaps time, everyone. What have been your slaps and flaps of the week, Annabelle Need?
Well, I had been avoiding DeWick for over a week. Mm-hmm. I actually was able to not go to DeWick from Thursday to this Friday. So a week and one day. But unfortunately, I had to go for dinner on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. So, my slaps are, let's see, I had a pretty good, what did I eat?
We had some noodles.
Yes, we had some noodles yesterday, and I was also going to say the country fried potatoes that they have,
mm-hmm.
I had them yesterday for my breakfast meal, which was in the afternoon, but mm-hmm. they still had them, and they just pour seasoning on them,
mm-hmm.
which I wish they would do for everything else.
Yeah. But
they're so heavily coated that it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
Mm-hmm. I love that. They're the no argument, the best seasoned item.
Yes.
In Duick McPhee that you will ever run into is the country potatoes. Sometimes they're called home fry potatoes.
Well, those are different things.
They are?
Yeah, so the country potatoes are the ones with a lot of seasoning,
mm-hmm.
and the home fried potatoes are fried. So the country, well, I guess the country fried potatoes don't have like the shell on them, and then the home fried potatoes are more crispy,
mm-hmm.
even if they're both like technically fried. I don't know, but they're different things, but mm-hmm. they taste very similar. So I understand your confusion.
Understandable. Okay. Yeah.
And I have one more slap, mm-hmm. and that is, I had a breakfast sandwich from Smiffa
mm-hmm.
this week. It was very good.
Breakfast sandwiches from Smiffa are so good.
Yeah, no. It had egg, it had cheese, it had English mm-hmm. muffin, and I devoured it. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I would 10 out of 10 eat again.
That is like the high achievement of Smiffa is their breakfast sandwiches. They're so good.
Yeah.
And I also get breakfast sandwiches from Hodge, and they're the same thing, but they're actually better at Smiffa. Oh.
At Smiffa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because they make them fresh there.
It's true. You can see them cooking the eggs behind you.
The Hodge ones are pumped out sort of early in the morning.
Oh.
And so the Smiffa ones, sometimes if you're lucky, still have like a runny yolk.
Yeah, they do.
That like coats the rest of your...
It's so good.
It's so good. Whereas the Hodge ones have sort of been allowed to sit on the hot plate for a little while. So
it's like cooked a little bit.
It cooks a little bit more. It gets a little bit soggy. Still delicious because, you know, I can't argue with, you know, cheese, egg, and sausage.
Yeah. And bread.
And bread. Really good bread.
Yes.
But yeah, that's like one thing where the SMFA cafe really excels.
Shines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then... say my flaps. I'm trying to think of what I ate this week. I like do not remember. Mm. I went to Hodge for dinner and I got a Pan Asian bowl.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually last week.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and they didn't have the only sauce that I think is good
mm-hmm.
on the Pan Asian bowl, and they had bad tofu. And so I had to get a sesame garlic with bad tofu, with rice, with my vegetables, and it was just terrible. Because the sesame garlic sauce is not good, and the tofu is not good, and it's just sad. So
yeah, sesame garlic sauce, like, it sounds in theory like it'd be really tasty.
Yes.
And then it coats everything, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. And
these two flavors aren't supposed to go together. And now I know why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have, like, sort of like this, I don't know what it is, and I think it might be like I don't know what it's called, but when you soak, like, onions and garlic in, like, hot water, it takes away their, like, zing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away what makes them very good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to do it. Like, for guacamole, you have to do it for the onions, because otherwise it's too, like, spicy. Mm-hmm. I'm putting that in quotes because that's not the right word, but I don't know what it is.
It's too.
But I think they do that with the garlic.
Oh.
Because I can't ever taste the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I just get, like, the garlic, like, shreds that are in the sauce. And I don't taste the garlic. And I taste a lot of sesame. And it's just weird and gross.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow, you've cracked the case.
I think so.
That makes a lot of sense. Because it doesn't really taste like garlic. It tastes like the bad part of garlic.
Exactly. Like, I think they take away the good part of the garlic. Which is so sad. Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very upsetting.
Yeah. Those are my slaps and flaps. My slaps, I'm going to rate them a 10 slaps out of 11. And then my bad flaps, I'm going to rate it like a negative 11.
Fair.
Yeah.
I respect that. I really do.
Yes.
Ooh. Slaps and flaps. Let me think. A major slap, which I've actually had before this most recent week, but it really hit hard this week, is the Arlington Bagel at Hodge. They have the bagel station. You've told me you've never taken advantage of this, which really...
No.
Because you're a bagel person.
I am a bagel person.
So they have these pre-made bagels that you can make. You know, you can also get a bagel with kind of anything you want on it.
Uh-huh.
But the Arlington Bagel has, like, avocado and bacon, which I know you don't eat.
I could take it off.
Mm-hmm, you could take it off. And, like, onion and spinach and fresh cracked salt and pepper.
Oh, my God.
And it's fresh avocado. And I had it a day of this week. I forget which one. And it was particularly succulent.
Succulent. That sounds so good.
Mm-hmm, it's really good. The bagel station at Hodge is really awesome. You have to wait a little bit because they make it, like, for you.
That's
and they
fine.
Toast it and everything, but it's worth it. It's open until 12.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could also feasibly get a bagel for lunch.
Yeah.
Early lunch. Yeah.
That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. It sounds so good. That's everything I like on it.
So tasty. And there's been a few times where I've had, like, the other bagels, and I really like those as well. But the Arlington just really, like, you pay the extra dollar for the avocado.
Yeah.
Or you get, like, a smaller coffee so it fits on your meal swipe, and it's so worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best part of Hodge breakfast. But on, like, on a flaps sort of note. A
flaps note?
You saw me eat this last night because I was super hungry, but I didn't enjoy it. It was the broccoli.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was, I forget what it was called. It was just broccoli with breadcrumbs.
Yeah, I saw that. And
in
I was like,
it.
I'm not about to pick that up.
Yeah, there was no other seasoning, but I needed something green, and they were out of asparagus.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I was upsetting, and I'm like, I need to have a vegetable, otherwise my body, I'll feel my body decay slowly on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
So I sucked it up, but it was little breadcrumbs and no other seasoning.
What?
No other seasoning. Mm. So you, like, bit in and you were like, it's broccoli, but a little bit dry, you know?
That sounds absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it was not enjoyable. I'd give that, like, a negative 5 because it's still steamed broccoli, which is a pretty, like, flexible thing. Like, I could have gone in and seasoned that myself, but,
right.
You know,
sometimes...
Yes. You're just not about that life.
Yeah, no.
And then for Arlington, I'll give that at least, like, 27 slaps out of, like, 30.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly valid.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hodge needs to be open. Also, wait, I was going to say about the seasoning thing for the broccoli. Mm-hmm. Emma was saying yesterday that she wished that Duwick had a seasoning station like the SMFA Cafe has. So, if there was some sort of seasoning station, you would be able to put things on your broccoli that would be better than breadcrumbs, as you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure, but perhaps the SMFA Cafe is doing more things better than we previously assumed.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took us a while to find the hidden gems.
Yeah.
And it is just adequate now. It's no longer absolutely the worst.
Yeah. I think that you have to adapt to the SMFA Cafe.
Adapt.
You have to sort of become a little bit nifty, a little bit handy. You have to be willing to experiment, make your own mixes, and unfortunately avoid the fruit because it's usually not good fruit.
This is true. Although we did get a mango.
We did get a mango, and the mango was really good.
It was delicious.
Yeah, so maybe I'll get more mangoes at the SMFA now.
Absolutely use your meal swipe only to get mangoes.
Yeah, get like five mangoes.
Eat
one for lunch, and then you have four mangoes for the rest of
Sounds so good. I really want a mango right now.
Okay. I respect that.
Yes.
Anyway, to move on to my song of the week, this isn't necessarily a song that I've been listening to more this week, but I like it. It's No Going Back by Uno.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. It's cool. A good song.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hit it. Ready. Okay.
Life for you, but now I'm free.
Hello. Welcome back. That was Maggie's Song of the Week, No Going Back by You Know. Mm-hmm. And here's our PSA. I've taken it out. It's called Food Not Bombs. Food Not Bombs is a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent, direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege. For more information, visit foodnotbombs.net. This has been a public service message from Food Not Bombs and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since Emma isn't here, I have to pick my song of the week, but I didn't cue it.
Mm-hmm.
So give me one second. My mom said to read that with a Boston accent, but I cannot do mm-hmm. one except saying Boston like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty similar. I feel like I'm maybe 15% of the way there to being able to semi-successfully imitate a Boston accent.
Yeah.
And yet something holds me back every time. I think it's knowing that I just can't do it yet.
Yeah, no, I mm-hmm. feel that. Like Boston, wicked, wicked cool.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to transition into my song of the week, which is, we're ahead of schedule, so that's fine. It's Van Horn by Saint Motel. I love this band. Saint Motel is super good, and I've literally been listening to this song on repeat
mm-hmm.
multiple times this week. It's so good. I hope you enjoy. Let's hit it. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
That was Van Horn by Saint Motel. And next up is our segment called This Week in Our Dual Degree Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie is currently cueing a song that has been prominent in our dual degree lives this week.
It has.
It is merely a song that has shown up as we are both hopelessly addicted to TikTok, which is terrible.
We can't stop. There's at minimum a half hour period before we go to bed where both of us are laying in the dark about 5 feet away from each other watching TikTok and just giggling and then sending each other stupid TikToks.
They're so funny. Mm-hmm. I downloaded it ironically, and now it is a major goal of mine to become TikTok famous.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you enter your TikTok experience being like, this is ironic. And then you exit it being like, wow, they've really found a way to manufacture content in a way that loops you in and doesn't let you go.
Yeah, the thing is that they don't tell you what time it is on the TikTok app.
Mm-hmm.
So, our friend Hannah has said that it is the Lotus Cafe of the world.
Yeah.
If you know any Greek mythology or have read Percy Jackson, it's like this thing you go in and then all of a sudden it's been years and then you leave. That's how it feels because you don't know what time it is. So you're just on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden,
it's 3 a.m.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, how did this happen? It's an experience.
So this is a song that gets in your head so fast.
Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of like begin to play it at random intervals where it makes sense in your life. And it kind of is slowly integrated. One might even say woven into the fabric of your existence.
Oh, yeah.
And it just comes to a point where you can't, like, walk around or, like, you know, pull backwards on something without your head going, if I back it up, is it fast enough?
Oh, I said it wrong. Mm-hmm. Is it fat enough?
And then, when I speed it up, is it fast enough?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very funny. It has a sort of existential mood to it. I don't think I've ever heard the full song.
You've never heard the full song?
No.
Get ready. It's very short. It's mostly what you hear on TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's, I feel like, let's play it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can continue with our lives in this dual degree world, our dual degree lives, if you will.
Yeah.
And perhaps talk some more about TikTok, perhaps not. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It does come up frequently in our lives.
Yeah, it's become an important component of everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. It really has.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. And we're back.
And that was Vibe by Cookie Kawaii.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, how's your dual degree life been? What have you been up to? What have you been working on? Fun projects?
I have my midterm for my oral and visual storytelling project soon, which for that I'm writing an adapted anthology.
Oh, yes.
So over this next week, I have to sort of finish up all of my poetry, and which, if you don't know, is 150 poems that I have told myself I will write, and then compile the first 50 into a small, like, zine. Oh, I know it's zine, but I just automatically say zine. Compile them into a zine, and then print that and format it for my midterm. So I'm just I'm trying to think of when I can do that, because I can't print on the Medford campus.
Oh.
Because I will go broke.
Yeah, no, it's super expensive.
Yeah, so probably on the Wednesday I will be...
Does Smith let you print for free? Why don't I know these things?
Yeah, Smiffa lets you print for free. You can print anything for free at Smiffa. It's just that if it's like big format or photo stuff, you have to buy your own paper.
Oh, man, I really need to...
Yeah.
I guess I haven't been printing anything.
Yeah, because you're not taking a lot of like digital to print classes.
I am not. I have taken zero digital to print classes.
Mm-hmm.
Which zero digital classes.
Has been like... the majority of what I've taken.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I've done a lot of printing at the SMFA. It's rough sometimes, because there are certain printers that definitely know when you're stressed and you need to get something printed.
Yeah.
In the next like 15 minutes, or Chantel will look at you with an extreme disappointment in her eyes.
Yes.
She was my bookmaking instructor first semester, so I did a lot of printing for her, but the printers can tell when you have this sort of deeply rooted fear within you, and they won't print for you, or they'll print in black and white, or they'll print your spreads so that instead of as a full spread, it's a back-to-back page.
Right. I can see if for those of you who are not in the room, which is everyone, Maggie just had an intense look on her face that was indicative of a flashback to any specific event. Mm-hmm. She just stared off into the abyss.
I hate printing, man.
Yeah.
Printers, like, they kind of wreck my soul, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love making stuff that you make digitally and then it becomes like a physical thing that you hold. But the process of printing just destroys me, like emotionally and physically every time. Because the paper always gets jammed.
And then of course,
I have to call over the librarian or perform an operation myself. And that's always
scary.
Spooky, scary skeletons. Anyway, Annabelle Nee, what's life been like in your dual degree life recently?
Well, I am creating art, as you would expect. I'm making more animations. I made a stop motion animation, with a little fox. His name is Charles. Maggie named him for me.
He's very cute.
He's very cute. And so I need to finish that animation for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then last Friday, I had mono printing. Well, I guess I didn't go, but... I was a little bit sick, so I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what we did. I have a friend in the class, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot. But right now, what we're working on in monoprinting is creating a monoprinting plate where you can print it multiple times, but never the same way. So, like, no matter how you put on the ink, it's always going to look a little bit different, which is cool. I'd like to try, like, woodblock printing. I think that'd be really up my alley. Because I think mono printing is, like, it's super loose. You just kind of got to go with the flow, and I think that stresses me out a little bit.
Yeah, no. like, a nice, clean process of application.
Oh, yeah. No. And the ink kind of stresses me out. There's a lot of ink, and it goes everywhere, and I don't really know how to use it. But it's still really, really fun. It's super relaxed. I love my teacher. Yeah. It's been a time.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess that's all I've really been doing. Oh, something exciting. For my final project in my environmental communications and culture class, we're allowed to either A, write a 20-page paper, or B, do a project. And catch me not writing that 20-page paper.
I feel like that'd be so fun, though.
Writing that 20-page paper?
I feel like extended long papers are always such a fun experience to write.
You know, I'm not about that life. Fair. Anyway, I talked with her. I went in to see her. And I was like, hey. Because one of the options was a computer animation. And I was like, Minion, you and I, we're bros. We're homies. She doesn't think so, but I think so. And I was like, look, I'm in an animation class at SMFA. And she goes, that's so exciting. And I'm like, yes. And I was like, I was wondering if instead of this 20-page paper, I could do the project and do an animation. She goes, yes, that would be very cool. And I say, however, I need to know how long it would have to be. And she goes, well, I know it's a lot different from the computer animation that I was talking about. She was, have you ever seen those programs that, like, you have an object, and then the object will, like, write for you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's, like, fake.
Yeah.
It's very easy to use, very intuitive, but it's not what I'm doing. She goes, well, I know it's different. I'm like, yes, it is. And she goes, well, it could be just, like, 3 minutes, and then you could write, like, a 2 to 3 page paper. And I go, that's perfect. Because I know a 3 minute animation will take me so long.
But you'll have so much more fun doing it.
I'll have so much more fun doing it, and it'll produce a much better end product than my paper would have been. Because as much as I like to write, I don't like to write that much, like, that long. And this whole thing, like, environmental communication is about spreading a message in the best way that you can, framing it in the best way that you can at George Lakoff, and I think doing an animation would be super exciting. So I'm going to do that.
That sounds great.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's what I can first say.
Yes.
Because I know that I said 20-page paper would be fun, but I know for a fact that you will have way more fun doing animation than anyone would have doing a 20-page paper.
Yeah.
Even me.
Even
me. Shall we say it? Nerd.
If you will.
If you will. Excuse my language, but loser.
Oh, dear. That's dear. Aggressive.
Oh, apologies.
Yes.
Yes. I'm excited for you.
Yes.
Especially because Charles, I know that Charles was only slightly environmentally related.
He's just a fox.
He's just a fox. And I'm not sure if you knew, but foxes live in the environment.
Do they now?
They live in nature, which is part of our environment.
Right.
So they're an important component of environmental sciences, I guess.
Crazy.
Yeah, foxes specifically. And that was great. I love Charles's little animation. You know I do. It brought me so much joy. It
brings me joy, too. Mm-hmm.
And then also, it's better if you watch the animation first and then you get to meet Charles, because you watch this animation of him being, like, alive and moving around. So he's given this sense of, like, he's an actual fox. So when she hands his little paper body to you, you just go, oh, Charles. You're so much smaller than I imagined, because you picture him fox-sized. And he's so small. He, like, is the size of the, like, a little bit longer than your hand. Mm-hmm. Maybe the same length, actually.
He's approximately the length mm-hmm. of, like, the base of your hand to your middle finger, mm-hmm. the end of your middle finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just love him so much.
Yeah, he's a cutie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sits on our shelf now. Mm-hmm. He's our pet because yeah. we can't have pets.
Yeah.
Which is so sad.
Even though we spent so much time researching dwarf puffer fishes.
It's true.
At least I did.
No, I did too. We spent a lot of our insects class looking at fish.
Yeah, because for some reason we thought that would fill a maternal hole deep within
us. We want fish.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen an image of a dwarf puffer fish, but it's so cute. Amazing. They're like a puffer fish, except super small.
Oh, my gosh.
And they've
gosh.
Got chubby little cheeks and a short little body, and they look like little marbles with eyes. And I just love them so much.
They're very cute.
Mm-hmm. Apologies for the yawning on both of our parts.
We're tired.
Yeah. It also, one of us started a yawn cycle.
I'm sorry.
It was probably me. And now we're just going
tired.
Back and forth yawning. Yes. Do you know why we yawn in response to other people?
No. I know why we yawn in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea why it's like a mm-hmm. social instinct.
There's actually a few theories about it.
Ooh.
But the one that is most broadly accepted but hasn't been fully proven is that because, like, humans had to, you know, learn language and became pack animals, there was also a component of that that requires sleep cycles to be linked. And because yawning, like, bless you. And because yawning, like, even though it's meant to offer your brain more oxygen, has an interconnection with sleep and does tend to make you feel sleepier. That, like, instinct to yawn when somebody else yawns is a result of pack mentality and being like, oh, this person's sleepy, so it's bedtime, so I need to be sleepy as well.
That is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I will take that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen to it. Heard it on a podcast. No Such Thing as a Fish.
Oh.
One of my favorite podcasts.
Plug the podcast.
Yeah.
I see.
A lovely British podcast.
Oh.
With, yeah.
Very exciting.
I like them a lot.
Very fun.
Yes.
That is exciting. Mm-hmm. I do not know. That is fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any fun facts to share?
Fun facts to share?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think... Oh, I lost my water bottle, except I think I know where it is. But it's in the classroom of the class that I dropped. And I don't want to face them.
You could always go at a time when class isn't being held.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Maybe I should do that. I probably will.
Yeah, okay.
I probably will. I probably will go, actually, mm-hmm. probably right after this.
Yeah.
Because it is on our way.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to run in and see if it's there.
Mm-hmm. And hydration is pretty important.
Yeah, I've gotten really thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I don't have my water bottle, like, right now, I'm very, very thirsty, and mm-hmm. I'm sad about it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But soon, you'll be reunited.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully. Soon. Yes.
Hopefully.
Any fun facts from you?
I'm not sure if I have any new ones that you two are unacquainted with.
Mm.
But I can talk about pandas.
Can you?
Because I do know a lot about pandas.
Okay.
As you know.
Yes.
Do you know?
I do know that you know a lot about pandas.
So, pandas. They're super cute.
They sure are.
We love them. But evolutionarily, they should not exist anymore. They are built as carnivores. They have carnivorous teeth and bodies, but are too lazy. But they also have the metabolism of carnivores. So they have to consume an enormous amount of bamboo in order to stay alive. and that's just difficult.
Yeah.
They also... can only mate under specific circumstances. Female pandas are only fertile for, like, a week out of an entire year. And male pandas, like, are, yet again, physically too lazy to mate often. So even if they're, like, biologically like, oh, that's female panda, I should probably go make some panda babies right now, they're like, but you know what's better? Sleeping.
It's relatable content.
So China has had to sort of figure out a way to continue manufacturing pandas, if you will, and retrain them in order to be able to exist in the wild, because they also have no, like, survival instinct at all.
Right.
So essentially, they have to breed pandas in captivity, which on its own is difficult because they have had to produce panda pornography.
Oh my gosh.
In order to get that to happen, which is a whole side story. I would love to think about whoever produces panda pornography.
Yeah.
But then they breed these pandas in captivity, and then they sort of raise them in captivity, giving them these life lessons and then eventually testing them. The first life lesson is they have a jaguar stuffed animal soaked in jaguar urine thrown into their cage. And if the baby panda approaches it, they are never allowed to be released into the wild. It is decided right then that their natural instincts are so backwards that they will not be able to survive. And that this just needs to be one of those captive pandas. So maybe about 70% pass that test. And so they kind of continue on these life journeys, all the time being looked after by possibly their mother and also by a series of humans dressed in panda suits that are soaked in panda urine so that they never become comfortable around people. Mm-hmm. So they believe that they've only been raised by pandas.
Right.
Because being comfortable around people, also bad for you. Mm-hmm. And then once a panda has sort of, you know, reach the proper age, they enter a Hunger Games style arena. It's an enclosed sort of space.
Uh-huh.
And they are monitored for 72 hours. And they have to find water, food, shelter, and then, like, defend themselves.
Right.
In some sort of way. And if they manage to do all of that in 72 hours, then they can be released into the actual wild where they will hopefully survive.
That's so funny.
And if they fail that final examination, then they have to start all over again.
That's actually
with their
hilarious
training. Which I love, just kind
yeah
of as a concept. Like that, I also like thinking about the fact that humans just think that pandas are so cute that
yeah
we've decided, or at least the Chinese government has decided, to invest what is probably millions of dollars, possibly billions,
into this yeah
panda facilities in order to breed these pandas. Because pandas are going extinct in large part due to, like, human interference, but they were also not doing too hot before that happened.
Yeah, they're a little bit stupid.
Yeah, they're...
they're a lot stupid.
They're a lot stupid. They're so cute, but we've decided that they're worth saving because they're so cute. We're like, we are willing to, like, completely train these pandas.
Right.
Oh my God. And have people whose entire careers are panda-focused.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, sounds like a great time. Also, I just, like, want to meet some of those people who work with pandas. You
yeah
know?
I bet they're very pleasant people.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like, they must have a lot of patience too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And endurance to wear a panda suit mm-hmm soaked in panda urine.
Mm-hmm. That's only in some of the centers, I think.
Oh,
in
I
some because I have seen photos of humans taking care of pandas where it's very clear, but I've seen a lot of humans in really bad panda suits that, like, yeah they don't resemble pandas. The head's, like, massive.
Right.
It's, like, the size of three watermelons.
Good measuring scale. Thank you. I enjoyed that.
The watermelon measuring scale. Everything it's is true relative to a watermelon.
It is true.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is relative to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fun philosophical facts mm-hmm for today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Whew. Anyway,
mm-hmm
I've run out of things to say.
Same.
Okay, do you want to play some music?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's? I'm going to play a song that I've been enjoying recently.
Mm-hmm.
It is called Let's see. Oh, one of my favorite artists released a new song called Beautiful Faces. It's Declan McKenna.
Mm-hmm.
He's super young. Oh. I think he's our age.
Yeah, I've heard his music before.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. British.
Mm-hmm.
He's super cool. This is a new song that he's released after not releasing any music for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. So we'll listen to that. Thank you for tuning in. This is Dual Degree Hour, and you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Beautiful Faces by Declan McKenna.
And as the earth returned to calmly dress itself in white, we got a glimpse of all the people going out tonight. Big guys and little guys and bad guys and cubs. I've